But it's still baseball. I just love the story. I love the characters. I love learning about what the country was like through baseball. And I've often said this, baseball's an incredible window into the culture of the times. Anytime you look at baseball, it says so much about what was going on in America. So that's why I looked at this period.
Now, you argued that this season of 1883 was pivotal to making baseball America's game. Why so?
Well, I think the book looks at this very, primarily at this very funny German immigrant named Chris Vondere, who founded what became the St. Louis Cardinals. And he figured out when the native-born Americans couldn't, what would make baseball sell. And it was beer at the ballpark and Sunday afternoon games. And he charged half the admission price of the National League, which was the established major league. And he got all sorts of working-class people and immigrants into the games. And that just made the interest in baseball explode across the country. And it was never the same after that.
Your book is called The Summer of Beer and Whiskey. How would you, and you go into how beer, as you say, was a draw for the fans and whiskey was an intoxicant for the players. How would you describe the history of baseball in terms of its relationship to alcohol?
Well, this is called The Beer and Summer of Beer and Whiskey because it's about a new major league that was called the Beer and Whiskey League, because the owners of the league were a lot of beer interests, liquor interests, whiskey distillers, all sorts of that stuff, and they did sell beer at the ballpark. So that, you know, as I mentioned, that brought in a lot of people who wouldn't normally go to ball games and just wanted to celebrate with their families and be there and have a nice beer and all that. And also, in that period, baseball was just, I mean, if you think drugs are an issue now with baseball players, liquor was an incredible issue with these baseball players of the 1880s. There was a star hitter for the St. Louis team who I think he was pretty well toasted. He fell down an elevator shaft and so damaged his knee he couldn't play the rest of the season. So that's the kind of thing we're looking at in this period.
What were some of the other issues with alcohol and the players of the 1880s?
Drinking and gambling as well almost ruined the game. Sometimes these players would show up with hangovers, not that great a condition to play. Although there was a guy I write about in the book named Pete Browning, who was known as the Prince of Bourbon in Kentucky because he drank lots of bourbon. And he was, you know, even when he showed up sort of under the influence at games, he was an incredibly good hitter. So he's a funny character in the book.
Even today, the Red Sox cut off sales of beer at Fenway Park during the final third of the game, and vendors only serve beer in the most expensive seats closest to the field. What's your take on, do you see any parallel between the issues that you wrote about in the 1880s and how alcohol is still a sensitive subject?
Well, I mean, I think that's probably a good idea for the Red Sox to do that. I write a little bit about the crowds that would go to these games in the 1880s, and obviously the crowds at the American Association games would be a lot rowdier than the ones at the National League games. And I write about how they would sometimes pour out of the stands and threaten to kill umpires or throw bricks at them. And so it could get quite hairy at some of these games.
Let's talk more about the protagonist of your story, German immigrant Chris Vondere,
yes.
Vondere. Tell us more about him and what makes him such an interesting character in your estimation.
Well, he came over to America, you know, like immigrants from time immemorial, and he didn't know anything about baseball. He just worked really hard. He was a grocer. He had a saloon in the back of his grocery, and he just noticed that people were coming into his place during days there were games at the ballpark down the street. And all sorts of, you know, native-born Americans had not been able to make a go of baseball in St. Louis. This guy figured out how to do it, and he was a marvelous showman. I say he's sort of a combination of, you know, George Steinbrenner and Bill Veeck with some Yogi Berra thrown in for his weird statements. He's a very funny guy. He said his star third baseman ran so fast he could run like a cantaloupe, and he told visiting reporters that his owner's box was at their disposal. And he would say funny things like when he traded a very good player, he said, "Why, oh, why didn't I listen to mine own advice?" So I just think he's just a wonderfully warm, engaging guy, great showman. He had fireworks at the ballpark in the 1880s, way ahead of everybody else. He had multiple uses of his ballpark. So he's just a fantastic, interesting character that you find when you look at early baseball that aren't known that well today.
Your book describes the contrast between the earlier established National League and the upstart American Association, the precursor to the American League. Tell us about that contrast.
Oh, yeah. Well, the National League was in Providence, had a team in the National League in this period. That was sort of the staid and stuffier league. It was located mostly in the eastern cities, with blue laws, no Sunday baseball. They didn't want beer at the games, and tickets sold for 50 cents, which was a pretty high price. Only the upper middle class could go to games. The American Association was in the sort of freewheeling river cities of the Midwest, St. Louis, Cincinnati, Louisville, also Philadelphia. It was just a much more freewheeling league, and it's very fun to write about and see how they played these games. It was a wilder, more fun league in many ways than the National League.
What do you think the players that you write about who were active in the 1880s would make of baseball in this day and age?
Well, I think they'd be great in any era. I think baseball changes. Baseball is much more science than it was back then, obviously. They have pitch counts. I mean, back then a pitcher would throw 670 innings a season. I mean, incredible stuff. They played barehanded, which was very dangerous, with a hard ball. They had to be very tough. The owners would only put 12 to 13 guys on a roster compared to 25 now. And they had to play injured, and they had to be very tough. And that's what America was like back then. You had to be rough and tough and be able to take it.
Your previous book was about the baseball season of 1884. This one is 1883. Is the next one 1882?
No, I don't think so. I think I'd like to turn to Lincoln or something of that nature, or maybe modern baseball for my next one. But I just had a ball looking at this early era. And this is stuff that I know baseball fans are interested in history. They will love seeing what this period was about, because it's just the story's not really been told.
Edward Acorn, Deputy Editorial Page Editor of the Providence Journal and the author of The Summer of Beer and Whiskey, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Ian. It was a pleasure.